And welcome back to Needy Reads, a classic podcast for my mother. She read to me when I was little, so now I'm returning the favour and you're welcome to listen along. It's Thursday and that means I'm reading something offbeat. Sundays are for classics, but whatever I'm reading, it's always great writing. Tonight, I am in Germany in 1810 for an Edgar Allan Poe story. Now, some of you will be thinking, hang on now, Nudie, that's crazy talk. First, Edgar Allan Poe is American, and second, he was born in 1809, so he could hardly be the author of a story from 1810. You gotta lay off the sauce, girl. And you would be correct about Edgar. But in 1810, a German fellow named Bernd Heinrich Wilhelm von Kleist wrote a proto-Poe story that has every Poe element in it and that is perfectly worded. Kleist comes before Poe, but he lacked the American's madness and panache. And I'm not throwing any shade at Kleist, because Edgar Allan Poe is one of the greatest writers of all time. It's no shade not to be quite as good as the goat. Kleist was also a great writer, and with tonight's story, he hooked onto something. It is, I think, a vital building block in the history of literature, without being classic literature itself. See if you agree with me. I'm going to read Kleist's gothic horror tale, The Beggar Woman of Locarno. Before I get to reading, a bit of background about Kleist. He was a poet and playwright and journalist and writer of short stories. He is so beloved as an author in Germany, they have a word for his style, Kleistisch. Sadly, Kleist did have something a bit Poe-like in his nature. He and his lover, Henriette, ended their lives together by shooting themselves in a Berlin park when he was only 34. But before that terrible day, he was pals with Goethe, and he enjoyed writing very much, and he really, really hated Napoleon, as all good 18th-century Prussian fellows from Frankfurt did. Born October 1777, died 1811. So, on to the tale of the beggar woman of Locarno, or Das Bettelweib von Locarno, as Kleist wrote it in the original German. Let's begin. At the foot of the Alps near Locarno in Upper Italy was an old castle belonging to a marchese, which you can now see lying in ruins when you come from St. Gotthard, a castle with high and spacious rooms. An old sick woman who had come begging at the door had been laid to bed by the marquise, the housewife, out of pity, the bed made of straw. The marchese, on his return from the hunt, happened to step into the room where he was in the habit of putting down his rifle, and found the old woman. He ordered the woman to get up from the corner in which she was lying and to move to behind the stove. When the woman got up, the crutch she was using slipped on the smooth floor, and she fell and damaged herself badly. But she got up with unspeakable effort and crossed the room, as she was told, but sank down behind the stove with groans and groans, and she passed away. Several years later, when the Marchese had found himself in dire financial circumstances due to war and bad business, a Florentine knight came to see him who wanted to buy the castle from him because of its beautiful location. The Marchese, who was very interested in the trade, told his wife to accommodate the stranger in the empty room mentioned above, which was now very nicely and splendidly furnished. But how embarrassed the couple were when the knight came down to them in the middle of the night, disturbed and pale, asserting that the room was haunted by something that had been invisible to sight, but with a sound as if it were coming on lying on straw, standing in the corner of the room, walking slowly and frailly across three rooms with audible steps, and sank down behind the stove with groans and groans. The Marchese was frightened, but he didn't quite know why. He laughed at the night with artificial amusement and said that he would get up at once and spend the night with him in the room to calm himself down. But the knight asked for the courtesy of allowing him to sleep in an armchair in the Marchese's bedroom, and when morning came, he made his leave and left. This incident, which caused an extraordinary stir, frightened off several buyers in a way that was most unpleasant for the Marchese, so that when the rumour arose among his own household, strange and incomprehensibles going on in the room at midnight, he decided to put it down with a decisive process, to investigate the matter himself the next night. He had his bed turned down in the room in question at dusk and stayed at midnight without sleeping. But how shocked he was when he did indeed perceive the incomprehensible noise with the strike of the witching hour. It was as if a person rose from straw that crackled under him, walked across the room, and sank down behind the stove with sighs and groans. The Marquise, next morning when he came downstairs, asked him how the investigation had gone, and she seemed frightened. As he looked around with shy and uncertain looks, after he bolted the door, he assured her that the ghost was true. Despite her fear, the Marquise asked her husband to once more test the room before he let the matter be announced. Both they and a loyal servant, whom they had taken with them, did indeed hear the same incomprehensible ghost-like noise the next night. And only the urgent desire to get rid of the castle, no matter what the cost, was able to suppress the horror that seized her in the presence of her servant, and to ascribe some indifferent and accidental cause to the incident. On the evening of the third day, as the couple climbed the stairs to the guest room again, with palpitations, to get to the bottom of the matter, the house dog, which had been released from the chain, happened to be at the door of the room, and both of them took the dog into the room with them, perhaps with the involuntary intention, besides themselves, to have something third and living with them, without declaring themselves afraid. The couple, two lights on the table, the Marquise undressed, the Marchese's sword and pistols, which he had taken out of the cupboard, next to them. Each sat down on his bed at about 11 o'clock, and while they were trying to talk as best they can, the dog lay down, head and legs crouched in the middle of the room, and fell asleep. Then, at the moment of midnight, the horrific noise can be heard again. Hear it. Someone who no one can see with his eyes rises on crutches in the corner of the room. One hears the straw rustling under him, and with the first step, tap, tap, the dog wakes up, suddenly lifts himself up from the floor, perking up his ears and growling and barking. Just as if a person were stepping on him, he dodges backwards towards the stove. At this sight, the Marquise rushed out of the room, her hair standing on end, and the Marchese took hold of the sword and exclaimed, "Who's there?" He received no answer, so cut the air in all directions like a madman and decided there and then to leave for the city at once. But before she rattled out of the gate after gathering a few things, the Marquise saw the castle all around go up in flames. The Marchese, overwhelmed with horror, tired of his life, had taken a candle and lit the castle, panelled with wood everywhere as it was. The fire raged at all four corners. In vain did the Marquise send people in to save the unfortunate man. he had already perished in the most miserable way. And still now lie his white bones, gathered together by the country folk, in the corner of the room from which he had asked the beggar woman of Locarno to rise. And that's where we'll leave it tonight. How about that? I think it's a perfect pre-Poe tale, told with real German efficiency by Heinrich von Kleist. He predates Edgar Allan Poe, but all the Poe elements are there. The spectre, the lonely room, death by fire. I really think Kleist deserves a round of applause for being so avant-garde, and the world lost him too young. But thankfully, much of his writing has been preserved. Do look him up, Heinrich von Kleist. I recommend him some excellent work. Maybe not Poe level, but that's hardly a complaint. Okay, that's your lot. I am flat chat with my day job, so no podcast for 2 weeks, but I'll be back on Thursday, 1 July, 9 p.m. Sydney time, with something offbeat. And I wish you all a great and safe couple of weeks till I return. There's plenty of back episodes of Nudie Reads to enjoy while I'm away, and I can highly recommend my friend Jack Henneman's podcast, The History of the Americans. Get into that, folks. It's terrific. Right. I send you all hugs across the cloud. Until next time, take care. It really is slippery out there. And thanks for listening to Nudie Reads.